Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's The Rant. I'm Jeff. It's Monday, August 12th, and we have preseason to talk about. We're going to do 14 takes on 14 games. 14 games, 14 takes, whatever order you want to say it. I'll break that down for you. I have plenty of emails from you guys, a couple of voicemails it looks like as well. So we'll just hit the ground running today. No promos. Let's just roll. First game on my list, Washington and the Jets. My biggest takeaway from this game, Braylon Allen is not bad at all. He obviously got the start because there was no Breece Hall in this contest, and he's very clearly already the number two on the depth chart. Braylon Allen is. He looked good. He's big too. 6'1", 235, 54 yards on six carries. He had two runs of 10 plus. Just looked sharp. Good speed. Ability to get to the perimeter. I mean, you know, basically the big takeaway, if you're drafting Breece Hall and you're handcuffing, it's Braylon Allen. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, hey, if I drafted Breece in the first round, I'm going to go and find Braylon Allen on my draft board and immediately move him up two or three rounds just to make sure I get him. Ben Sinnott wasn't bad in this on the other side if we're talking about rookies. Pretty solid. He's not draft worthy yet, but good start for the rookie tight end. Let's move on to Chicago and Buffalo. Big takeaway here. Caleb Williams looked quite good in this contest. Now, the numbers don't necessarily jump off the, you know, jump off the page. 4 of 7, whatever, 95 yards. He did have a scramble. He moved the offense down the field. They got into the red zone twice. They kicked field goals both times. He was able to connect with DJ Moore. He had a bit of a play, like an extended play where he found Cole Kmet. And he also, he did this, like, it looked, it's almost hard to see how the play happened when you watch it in real time. This almost no look play to DeAndre Swift, like it was a little dump off and then Swift took it 42 yards. He said after the fact that he just saw Swift's gloves. So he processes super quickly, saw the gloves, got the ball there, and turned something that was going to be likely a sack into a 42-yard gain. Now, granted, Swift did a lot of the work there, but couldn't have done the work if Caleb doesn't get him the ball. So really great sign there for the Chicago Bears. And I love that because a lot of hate on Caleb Williams, and I don't think it's warranted because a lot of people who are hating on him, I don't think they play. I saw him play in college. I really don't. I think they just kind of pick it up in March or, you know, late February when we get to the combine, and then they establish an opinion on the dude and they don't base it on anything. Guy can really play. Obviously, that doesn't mean he's going to translate to the pro level, but I like what we saw against Buffalo. Moving on to Vegas and Minnesota. Another, this might as well just be rookie takes because JJ McCarthy. Now, he didn't start. He didn't get the star treatment. That actually did go to Sam Darnold. He played like the first series came out, right? But JJ McCarthy made things happen when he was in there. 45-yard touchdown to Tristan Jackson. Trent Sherfield, 33-yard touchdown. That was busted coverage, but whatever, as far as I'm concerned. Big plays. JJ wasn't perfect. He had an interception. You know, yeah, it wasn't, not every throw was perfect, but he looked good. And I mean, I found it pretty hard to believe that Sam Darnold would have this super, super long leash. I really did. Found it hard to believe. I really don't think he has a super long leash. Now, is Sam Darnold the starter in week one? As of right now, well, yeah, he's the number one on the depth chart, so that probably will happen. But Sam Darnold, as we know, very good in practice. When he gets on the field in games, not quite as good. JJ McCarthy showed. Now, granted, it was against the second string defense, but he went out and played really good football on the field. So that was pretty intriguing right there. Potential of JJ McCarthy getting out there and starting sooner rather than later for this squad. Cleveland and Green Bay. Man, there was really very little here. But the one takeaway, be careful with the Green Bay wide receivers. They're good. The problem is they have four of them. That's the problem. And usually, you know, unless somehow they're going to run a Chan Gailey offense, the most you have out there for the most part is going to be three. The starting trio was Watson, Dobbs, and Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed is expected to come off the field when they go to two wide receiver sets. The problem, if you watch the game, well, none of those three scored the long touchdown. It was Dontavian Wicks, and that happened in the beginning of the game. So Dontavian Wicks played with the starters. He came on the field in the third play, and Watson came off the field. I don't know what to do with that information yet. You know, it was one preseason game. It was very few snaps with the starters out there on the field, but at least it is noteworthy. So I guess, you know, don't overdraft Christian Watson. Reed is still the first guy off the board, and that's fine even if he comes off the field in 12 personnel or whatever, two wide receiver sets. That's fine. It's fine because he has a lot of pop. He has a lot of ceiling. Watson is a little discounted because of the injury stuff, but I guess maybe we should also be discounting him because Dontavian Wicks is going to play. Like last year when Watson was hurt, Wicks went out and the team really didn't skip a beat with him out there. He's really good. I mentioned this on my radio show today. Like I just don't have the time to do this project, but here's an interesting project. Ranking the number four receivers in the league. Like Wicks would be probably close to the top of that. He's pretty darn good. And I'm not drafting Wicks, by the way. It's just a little too deep, but he does put a little bit of a damper on Christian Watson. All right, moving on to the next game, Cincinnati and Tampa. An interesting one for me here, but essentially the Buccaneers run game, they're going to run the football a lot. Now, Rashad White did not play in this one. Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker were like the main guys, but Irving was very clearly ahead of Sean Tucker. But if you look at what they did together, 16 carries, 96 yards. By the way, that's 6 yards per carry. Tucker had a 26-yard run, was his longest. He didn't get in the end zone, but Irving did. This isn't anything about the players. It's more about the offense. I think we're going to see a lot of Rashad White. Now, don't go crazy. Where I have Rashad White just inside the top 12 is fair. I'm actually a little higher on him than ADP, which I think he's 13 or 14 right now. ADP has Achan in the top 12. I do not have Achan in my top 12. I just don't view him as an anchor. And I do view Rashad White as an anchor. So moral of the story, taking him at a slight discount compared to rankings, no issue with that. There's no guarantees the offense is effective in the regular season, but I do expect them to run the football a lot based on what we saw in this game. All right, next on the list is Kansas City and Jacksonville. First and foremost, let's just address the injury. So yes, Hollywood Brown, shoulder injury. We've seen this type of injury before. Tyreek Hill actually had a very similar injury. It's a 4 to 6 week absence. So it's not season ending. It's not, holy crap, you can't draft Hollywood Brown. I think people will move him down. I may move him down just a tick, but I don't think it's going to be much. And yeah, I would take the discount. But Xavier Worthy was out there with the starters. It was very clear what they were doing because they did play the starters in this game. Mahomes was out there. Actually, the starters on both sides because you had Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence, which was kind of refreshing for a preseason game. But anyway, your starters were Rice, Brown, and Worthy. And then Sky Moore came in for Brown when he got hurt. So Worthy is really intriguing, especially with his ceiling for redrafts. He obviously has that nice speed, that record-breaking speed of his. He should get involved right from the jump. And Mahomes has basically said that already. They're not going to beat around the bush. They're not going to wait on this guy. And he's already atop the depth chart. San Francisco and Tennessee. So I'll give you a mini take and then the regular take. The mini take is, yeah, Jordan Mason played. That's because everybody else is hurt. Somebody has said today, hey, did you know he was the number two? Not according to the team or the beat writers. It's still Elijah Mitchell, even though he didn't play, but they're all banged up. It's three of their top four running backs are hurt. They're so shorthanded right now. Guys holding in, guys hurt. It's tough, and holding out. Trent Williams is holding out, obviously. But anyway, the main takeaway, Tony Pollard looked really good here, but it's very clear. I would not be surprised if this was like a precise 50-50 split between him and Tajay Spears. They rotated. Not only did they rotate plays, like they both got third down work. They both got red zone work. They both got early down work. They're rotating. Now, I thought Pollard looked better than he did last year. Granted, it's the first preseason game, and it's not, it's a super small sample, but he looked good. At the same time, Tajay Spears looked good. He scored the touchdown. Now, he didn't have the long runs that Pollard did, but he made a move to score a touchdown. My advice, and I mentioned this at the Fantasy Football Expo over the weekend, but it's pretty simple advice. If I draft Pollard, I'm not drafting Spears, or vice versa. I don't want to do that with these backfields. If I draft Zach Moss, I don't want Chase Brown. And the reason for it, it goes counter to, there's a lot of like fantasy football logic out there that is actually counterintuitive if you really look at it. People will say, well, no, I drafted them both so I can just lock in those points. It's like, do you really think they're both going off in the same game? Because that A is probably not going to happen. So you really probably have to just start one of them. So that means every single week you're going to have to decide, do I start Spears or Pollard? Or do I start Moss or Brown? Or, you know, there's a bunch of these backfields like that. I've done that a lot over the years. And I know if I have a decision like that, you know what I'm going to do every week? I'm going to choose the wrong guy every week. So instead of making that decision, I'm going to go with one of them. I don't want that. And I don't want that extra player on the same team on my roster. I try to avoid that as much as I can. It's very difficult to completely avoid that. But here, this one is not difficult to avoid because, like, hey, like I said, if I draft Pollard, then I'm just crossing Spears off my board. Like, he gone. If I draft Zach Moss or Chase Brown, they're pretty close in ADP. So it might be hard to get both of those guys. But let's say I drafted Zach Moss, I'll just cross Chase Brown off my board. I like Chase Brown, don't get me wrong, but I don't want that decision. And I planted my flag with Moss by drafting him. So an important thing, you know, kind of based on this takeaway. Seattle and the Chargers, pretty much everybody resting here. But the one big thing, Quentin Johnston, not only is he not the number three, he may not be the number four. He's pretty far down the depth chart. Now, they rested the top two, so no Ladd McConkey in this one, no Josh Palmer. DJ Chark did play, and it looks like it's pretty clear that he's the number three. So I don't think this isn't like freak the F out, trade every share of Quentin Johnston in Dynasty that you have. It's more like hope that he rebounds here in Dynasty. But redraft-wise, I think he's going to come off my draft board in my next update. He's not even going to be included. New Orleans and Arizona. In this one, very little to take away. But I will say, don't get carried away with A.T. Perry's stat line. 4 for 85 looked good, but he wasn't playing with the starters. You know, he's playing with the second string. So actually, Cedric Wilson was ahead of him. So that's a little concerning. I mean, I don't think anybody was that high on A.T. Perry. Let's be clear about that. But sometimes I'll see that people will look at a box score in the preseason and be like, oh, this dude had 4 for 85. Yeah, well, when did it happen? Let's take all of that into context. Now, we could reevaluate next week, and maybe he's ahead of Cedric Wilson. But for now, he was clearly behind him in this game. Moving on to Houston and Pittsburgh. There's a real quarterback competition here, but Justin Fields just doesn't look good, at least to my eyes. 5 of 6 for 67 yards is fine, but he had two sacks, two fumbles. I don't know, man. I have enough Russell Wilson in best ball to have a vested interest in Russell Wilson being the starter, but I'm also going based on what I'm seeing here. I don't see it. But then again, I haven't seen Russell Wilson, so we'll get to that this upcoming week because he's supposed to play. Atlanta and Miami, Jalen Wright having himself a nice game here. But again, it's not, you didn't have the starters out there, so I wouldn't read too much into it. It was basically, you know, both sides didn't really play a lot of their guys, but he looked good. 55 yards on 10 carries, explosive. Jalen Wright will have value if one of the two get hurt, whether Achane or Mostert. And both of these guys have shown over their career, now obviously Achane's is a lot shorter of a career, but that they can get hurt. So just have that one up your sleeve. I don't think it's worth drafting a secondary handcuff in regular sized leagues. That's a little too excessive for me. But if he gets the opportunity, he has the speed. I keep hearing comps to Achan. I think he's closer to Mostert than he is to Achan. But either way, I don't think it's a problem. If Achan went down, then Jalen Wright's going to get more work. So Atlanta, more speed at running back, more explosive playmaking ability. Baltimore and Philly, nobody really played in this one. But in the number two running back spot for Philadelphia, Kenneth Gainwell did run ahead of Will Shipley. It doesn't mean he's going to hold that job, but Gainwell was in, his day was done, then Shipley came in. Now, Shipley did score a touchdown, but as of now, if you were looking who's the number two, it's going to be Gainwell. I don't think the number two gets a lot of work because Saquon Barkley can handle a massive workload, but that is at least worth noting. Denver, Indianapolis. Bo Nix got a lot of work. He was not the first quarterback to come in, although the reports say he'll be the first quarterback to play in the second game. I think he's already won the job. It's just not out there. He wasn't quite as good as J.J. McCarthy, but he wasn't bad at all. Threw the ball around the yard a little bit, 125 yards and a passing score. It was a one-yard throw to Marvin Mims, but still he got the ball in the end zone. He ran three times for 17 yards, giving me those early career Russell Wilson vibes. I know it is weird that, you know, they get rid of Russell Wilson and then they get a guy who I comp. Not that Sean Payton gives a crap about my comps, but I comped him to Russell Wilson. So I think there's a type here. I do think we're going to see him starting in week one. You know, I, like I said, maybe it isn't publicly announced, but I think that job is over. It's pretty clear that, he can handle things and run that offense. Finally, Dallas and the Rams. I got very little here. Let's go with a deep, and sometimes this is helpful for the dynasty crowd because, you know, hey, this is the time of year dynasty folks can do some deep scouting. Jordan Whittington, not only like box score wise does it look good, 6 for 74 on 9 targets. He's got some Puka to him. He almost looks like Puka in a way on the field. He's got that vibe. He was a day three guy. So is it back-to-back years where McVay nails a day three guy at wide receiver? But it's not only that. There's reports out of training camp that he really stands out. It's a crowded house right now. Like, there's not a lot of room for him to get on the field, at least, you know, when the season starts. But he's going to make the team. And, you know, stashing guys like that in Dynasty, not a bad thing at all. So Jordan Whittington, very good performance in this contest and just a deep name to know right there. So there you go on that front. Real quick, too, on Malik Nabers, everybody panic for a moment. It just sounds like it's a mild ankle sprain. So no big deal with Malik Nabers. All right. Let me get over to the emails here. You guys are continuing to email me, which is great. I tease you, but you know I love it. So therantpodjr@gmail.com. Dan checking in with what he titled a draft strategy question. He said, regarding the anchor RB strategy, he said, it seems to me that while your grades on running backs change, I think being flexible is important. Why doesn't the draft board dictate the strategy throughout the draft? He said, for example, I draft Christian McCaffrey in the first round. If I have Achan with a second round grade, which I do not have a second round grade on him, he said, I agree that selecting the best wide receiver on working a build and maintaining optionality moving forward is the correct move. If, however, Achan is somehow available in the fourth round, he has a high enough grade and positive variance to the wide receivers on the board at that point to draft, then I'm going to go running back. He said, if I select Achan in the fourth round, I am out on running back at that point until I have my starting wide receivers filled and bench strength at wide receiver position. He said, couldn't I change that strategy during the draft based on the board and end up yielding the most fantasy points? Okay, so a couple things here. First and foremost, if you're only worried about drafting starting wide receivers and then putting players on your bench, like if you're drafting bench players, guess what? You're drafting players who shouldn't be starters. So I would prefer to draft a full roster. I would prefer, heck, in a perfect world, every single player could start any given week throughout the course of that draft. Secondly, you're building a roster that comes with a lot of volatility. If you're selecting, especially, it's interesting that you highlight Achan, who was hurt multiple times last year, including in the preseason. He's very volatile. See, the strategy isn't about value. It isn't about yielding most fantasy points You could be the highest scoring team in the regular season and get blown out in the first week of the playoffs. That doesn't matter. It's about building an anti-fragile roster. If I'm investing heavily in running back early on, I'm investing in the most fragile asset in all of fantasy football. They're very fragile. Year over year, you will have a lot of fluctuation in productivity. And of course, it doesn't matter who you are at running back, unless you're Najee Harris, because apparently he doesn't miss games. That is not a Najee Harris endorsement. Doesn't matter who you are at running back. The more you touch the ball, the more likely you are to get hurt. And injuries happen to running backs. So I do not want to invest my most valuable picks. And I view really my most valuable picks are those picks in the first roughly six rounds. They hold the most value. I am taking the highest end players in that range. So I want to make sure that those picks don't open me up to potential problems down the line. There's no way to completely avoid that. But the idea is to minimize risk. And drafting Achan, and you're also operating in the hypothetical where you say in the fourth round, we don't know if he's going to be there. Like, I don't want to operate in the hypothetical, but let's say, okay, he is still really risky. Still really risky. Now you invested in two running backs in your first four picks. Very risky strategy for me. Not the way I want to roll. So that's my rationale, but you can always certainly have your own rationale. Like, no doubt about that. Joe Keeper. All right. So with these keeper questions, I really don't want to answer keeper questions. Not that I hate keeper questions. I don't want to just give you like, oh, here's who I keep, because A, you don't learn anything from that. You don't learn anything. I just give you an answer and then we move on. B, I know what happens when I'm wrong. I used to do this. Like, it's not like I came into the industry and was like, hey, I'll show them. I'm not going to answer the keeper questions. I'm just going to give them the rationale of how to answer. No, that I arrived on that many moons down the line because I'm not going to get every decision right. I will tell you that right now. If you're listening to this podcast because you think like you found somebody who gets everything right, you are so wrong. You are so wrong. I'm not getting everything right. And anybody out there who claims they are is a fraud. They're a complete charlatan. They're lying to you. Nobody gets it right all the time. But when I get things wrong and I gave that to you, I know what happens. Well, A, like, I screwed you. So then B, you blame me. So why don't we take control of our rosters and control of our decisions? So he has 12-man. I don't know what 12-man is, guys. You got to say 12-player or 12-team or 12-player roster. But anyway, he's got Kamara in the sixth, Garrett Wilson in the eighth. So you already can cross players off here. You can already cross players off. Jalen Hurts in the ninth. I'm not keeping a quarterback. You have two quarterbacks on this roster. A, that's a problem. Kyler Murray in the 12th. In a one quarterback league, you're wasting a bench spot if you have a second quarterback and you're not doing safe and upside. And you weren't doing safe and upside with Hurts and Murray. Achane in the 13th. Nico in the 13th. Kyron in the 12th. So you have great options. So first and foremost, I go to rankings. I find who are the highest ranked guys. You're tossing Hurts. You're tossing Kyler. You're tossing Alvin Kamara. So now we're down to Garrett Wilson, Kyron Williams, Devon Achane, Nico Collins. I think the answer is abundantly clear here. Like, I would have tossed a whole bunch of these guys from the jump, but still I'm going with the highest ranked guys. Two highest ranked guys because none of these rounds matter because you're all so far late. Like, if you said Garrett Wilson in the second, Kyron Williams in the 12th, like, there's a huge difference there. Garrett Wilson in the 8th, Kyron in the 12th, the value flattens out so dramatically there. So ultimately, I'll let you decide, but that's how I go about that process. Actually, I have to make a keeper decision later this week. It's due on Thursday, so I'll make it on Thursday. Michael checking in. He said, love the show. Happy you branched off into a podcast. Michael, I've been doing podcasts way before I did the radio show, if that's what you're talking about. I've been doing podcasts since 2012, 2011. I think it's 2012. I'd have to look back. I got onto SiriusXM in 2015, so more of these than radio shows, believe it or not. He said he has a strategy question. 12-team, 5-player keeper. He said, right now, all keepers are ranked inside the top 50. That's good. He said, my question is, how does this impact your strategy? It doesn't impact my strategy because keepers are draft picks you make before the draft starts. And so those guys all, if they're top 50, you know, they're off the board. So you're using those picks to keep those guys. It doesn't change my approach. I don't want to have a build where I am not robust at wide receiver. He's got a good start. He's got Ja'Marr Chase, Chris Olave, and Devontae Smith, but I need more at wide receiver. I need more firepower there for sure. And I'm not worried. He said you can start up to four wide receivers. I'm not worried about that. Like, if I have six or seven very startable wide receivers on my roster, great. Every week I'm just going to start the three or four highest ranked guys, because I'm assuming, you know, you can do so in a flex spot is what he's referring to here. And that's what I'm going to do. And each week that might be a little bit different, but I'm going to trust the process of rankings and start those guys based on that. Not going to get too crazy here. A lot of times these decisions, you know, fantasy players make them out to be so much more difficult than what they actually are. Moving on to Yuri. He says, Devontae Adams. And he said, I have the draft guide. I was looking for a little bit more context as to why you seem to be higher on Adams. Well, there's no rankings in the draft guide. So the draft guide is like a kind of objective statistical look. So I'm kind of curious about that. He said, in my team review of Vegas, I mentioned that he did have two monster target games. Yes, he did. He had two 20-plus target games is what he had. He said, I'm not a believer in Aiden O'Connell. No, I'm not. But I think Gardner Minshew ultimately is going to be the starter. He said he moved him down his draft board because he's nervous. He's usually in line with the evaluations, but wants to know if there's something that he's missing. No, you're not missing anything. You're basing your evaluation on your evaluation. Mine, I am not overly concerned here, but it's not as if I'm like crazy bullish on Devontae Adams. Right now, let me get you the rankings. So, you know, I have him just inside the top 10, but all those guys in that range are very close. Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Olave, Marvin Harrison, Brandon Ayuk, like even Drake London at 14, like there's not much that separates those guys for me. I just know that Devontae Adams proved last year that he's quarterback proof. He had 100-plus catch season. And also, they don't have much in terms of competition for targets. Like, they brought in Bowers, but that's it, really. There's no competition for targets there. Even bad quarterbacks can still target Devontae Adams. Jarrett, he said, 10 auction strategy point per first down. Okay, so it's a 10 team. So he said, in this league, it's a 10 team. He said, the one difference they do is first point per first down instead of PPR. Cool. He goes on to say, it's quite a lengthy email. He said, I can keep James Cook and Mike Evans at $23 each. Those aren't massive savings. Well, it's not massive savings on Evans, I should say. So Mike Evans right now is 31. So you are saving a little bit there. I don't hate that, but Cook, you're overpaying by a dollar on my market values. It's not the end of the world, but that's a lot on Cook. I think I would, if I have the ability to, I would toss Cook back and then just keep Evans. He also says he's starting at $175 because he traded money away. Don't screw future you, guys. Trading away picks, trading away money for next year, you're screwing yourself in the future. Remember, you still have to draft in the future. So I would I'd be careful. But I don't hate the Mike Evans. That's actually not a bad deal on Mike Evans. He'll go for $30+. Very likely. So that's what I would do on that one. All right, let me do just one more. New kickoff rule from DJ. He said scoring is 1.1 point for every 3 kickoff yards and 6 points for touchdowns. Would I adjust anyone's rankings due to the new rule? I don't know, man. I'll be honest, you know, not to knock your league, I hate return yards in fantasy football. It's kind of dumb, especially this year, because you're going to see 25 to 30 yards per return. So in this league, that's not a ton of extra points, but it's still annoying because it's like a static return. Like it's like that's going to be the average. you know, you don't have like the average per carry is 4 yards. Basically the average per catch is like for a receiver is like 11 and a half, 12 yards. Like I don't need the exact number off the top of my head, but it's right in that range. I don't know. It just feels a little excessive. I probably would play this league straight just because I don't know who's going to return the ball the most. Like everybody's like, oh, Rashid Shaheed. And he even mentions this in this email. I don't know that for a fact. Do you? Like it could be Taysom Hill on that team. It really could. So I would play it straight. That's how I did it with Scott Fishbowl. Didn't miss a round there. All right, let me do a quick voicemail.
Jeff, what's going on? What is the plan for the fall? I always liked seeing you on CBS in the mornings on Sundays. Are you re-upping that? Do you have anything else in the works? Whatever you could tell us, I'm curious. Thanks.
Yeah, no doubt. I am officially back with CBS Sports Network for my 9th season. I have no idea where the time went. But yeah, year number 9, that other pregame show is on CBS Sports Network from 8 to noon Eastern on Sunday mornings. It's a full NFL pregame show, so we cover all the league itself. But I do fantasy and betting stuff, and I actually get to cover college football as well. Just straight up college football. So yeah, I'll be back on that this year. And that's my plan on Sundays. I'm not doing anything else because I have to leave my house at 4:30 a.m. to get up to New York City for the show. Yeah, officially back. All right, let me do another voicemail.
Hey, Jeff, this is Adrian from Illinois. Just got a real quick question for you. How does your strategies change when you're in a 16-team league, specifically looking at hero RB or looking at value for quarterbacks? I know we typically look for value at quarterback at least 2 to 3 rounds, or we're going safe and upside. I'm just wondering how that strategy changes in a 16 team league when you've got guys going probably about a half or half full round earlier than what they should be. All right, thanks, appreciate the advice, bye.
Yeah, no problem, Adrian. So it doesn't change at running back, wide receiver. And the running back, wide receiver is the same strategy. Like if you say zero RB, that is a wide receiver strategy as well as an RB strategy. So that doesn't change. And the rounds don't change. And that's a lot for a lot of people in a 16-teamer to wait until the 7th round. But I want to be as robust as possible at wide receiver. So I'm willing to be light at running back, even if I go hero RB. As far as tight end is concerned, I think it's fair to move the wheelhouse group up, but only one round. I don't want to get too crazy there. So I would be willing to look in the 4th round. If it's thin, if it's only like Pitts and Kittle left, then I'm going to take one. If there are 5 of them left, which probably won't happen, then I can wait. So that's where I look there. I think people miss the fact that this year, like the strategy is different this year than it was last year. And it feels like a lot of people are just using last year's strategy. You can't just blindly apply year over year the same exact strategy. So last year it was wait 3 rounds. And you know, if you're looking at early and middle round quarterbacks, I realized there was a major flaw with that. That really should only apply to elite quarterbacks. So there are 4 elite quarterbacks. It's at least 3 rounds of value, which means I'm not seeing those guys. Any other quarterback has to be 10th round or later in a 12-team league. So that would apply to like Dak Prescott. If Dak Prescott's there in the 10th round, hell yeah. And then I'm only drafting 1 quarterback. Or Joe Burrow, but they're not going to be there. Or Brock Purdy, he could be there. Jordan Love might be there. Anthony Richardson's not going to be there. Those guys. Now, if we get to round 11, then we're going safe and upside. I think you could still try that here, but that's really risky. I would be looking in the middle rounds, probably in the latter part of the middle rounds. I would not want to go early middle rounds because then I could really screw myself at running back. So I probably would look either 9th or 10th and get a guy in that range and just call it a day. And only one, because you know, you need to roster as much ammunition at wide receiver and running back in this league as you possibly can. So that would be the gear shift there. 16-teamers can be pretty intense. Hey, if you want to call in, 215-720-1708. Quick note, mentioning CBS. I'm actually going to be in New York at CBS for the CBS NFL Summit the next 2 days. So I will not have a podcast tomorrow. I'm going to try and jam one in on Wednesday, though, and then we'll be a Thursday, Friday this week. and just roll from there as we're heading towards this biggest fantasy football draft weekend of the year. Well, this is the second biggest this upcoming week. Then next week is the biggest. This weekend, Saturday mornings, I will update cheat sheets over at FTNFantasy.com. There's still time to take advantage of FTN 15, so go do that. It goes away on the 15th, so 3 days from now as I'm sitting here and recording, FTN 15 goes away. 15% off, no more. You want to get that. If you're thinking about subscribing, don't wait. All the cheat sheets will be updated there. I'm going to get a late start today because I got to travel to New York, so I'm going to do them by tonight. Every Monday, I update them. But then again, on Saturday, for the next two Saturdays, we'll also have some freshies. Some fresh sheets? Some freshies? Whatever. They'll be up there for you. All right, I'm going to get out of here. So FTNFantasy.com, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. Same on Instagram. And yeah, I'll be back on Wednesday. So I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.